anybody want anything to drink?
There's a couple of beers in here if you're interested.
You'll have to get it yourself, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking more in terms from, like, a standpoint that it's always been the...
Well, like, they're great. I love the but I can still play there with my band.
The universities were never open. They never really felt comfortable after.
No, it's true.
Stanford's a pretty, you know, starting place.
The ironic thing is they let Paul McCartney, UC let Paul McCartney play in their stadium. They don't let anybody in there. It's one of those things, you know. I don't know, what is it? The thing about a prophet doesn't get no respect.
House.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those trips. I mean, I don't want to compare us. I don't want to liken us to Jesus. But actually, both places are places that are kind of special. But at least we still have one outdoor place in the Bay Area that we can play. We can still play Shoreline. Which is, while it's tightly controlled, is an awfully nice place to play. It sounds good there. It's a Greek I'll miss most, I think. Just because it's really beautiful from an onstage point of view. And that's one of the things that's rare. I mean, it's one thing to be in the audience looking at the stage, but it's another thing to be on the stage looking at the audience.
Yeah.
And then the Greek theater is one of those places the audience looks great. You know, they kind of wrap around and it looks just, you know, it's like, it's just a great little place. And there's an intimacy there for an outdoor thing, too, that really, you feel pretty close to everybody there. It's, you just about throw a rock at anybody in the audience.
Yeah, sure, we're sort of cutting down on what are the options to do.
Well, we were having this problem everywhere, really. Right. I mean, the thing is, the last couple of tours, we've done a lot of makeup. I mean, the audience has behaving itself so well, extraordinarily well, and we haven't had any real difficult, complex incidents, you know, in all the places we play, the big places. And so, everybody knows, in the audience anyway, we've been communicating to the deadheads, you know, what it is that we have to deal with, and all this stuff is, they know about all the struggles that we're having and all the problems we're having about deadheads calling attention to themselves and trying not to scare the people in the town and trying not camping out, doing all the stuff that we've had to eliminate because it's getting in the, you know, it's frankly too large for most of the places we play, except for New York City where we could play forever in Madison Square Garden. There could be all the deadheads in the world there, and it's just another thing in New York.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, yeah. There it doesn't, then, you know, that's probably the one big exception. But other places, they get uptight about the downtown area, you know, San Francisco they do, and a lot of other places.
So why do you play Brendan Byrne and Nassau then instead of just going to the Garden?
Well, because we can't always get the Garden. The Garden is a highly desirable place to work in on any level, so everything else, the circus and everything else, gets there before we do. Usually, we're usually only ahead. We're only about a year ahead of ourselves. In fact, we're usually not even that much. We're usually six to eight months ahead of ourselves, and that's usually not enough time to get the primo, to get the timing the way we want it. You know what I mean? So then we have to settle for whatever else we can get.
Yeah.
Now also, the Garden is a tremendously expensive gig, too.
Yeah,
from our point of view, the overhead is amazing there. You know, it really is. As you can imagine what it's like. It's got the biggest union crew in the world, probably. And just the overhead generally is very, very, because it's so visible, it's very, very expensive. And staying in New York City, that's expensive, too. So the whole deal is, it's more, we play there because it's a kick in the ass. And, not because it's a hugely profitable venue.
That what keeps you from playing here too?
Well, there isn't any place to play here. I never realized
that Honolulu stadium
was quite so big. That's it. The stadium, I guess, is it, huh?
That would probably be the one place I could accommodate.
Yeah, we probably will play here if we ever get around to going to the Orient, to Japan or Australia, which we keep talking about doing, but always stays about a year away. Mm-hmm. You know. It's like, yeah, sure, next spring we're going to go to the Orient. We're actually going to go to Europe this autumn, which is in itself is a major accomplishment.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I remember I was there in 85 and people were, what they would do is like rent out this barn house and get this gigantic sound system and just play tape for 24 hours and pretend they were at a show and they'd have like,
right.
They'd have cake with the
where
little...
Where was that?
Just outside of London, there was these people, it's called the Deadhead Information Exchange. I don't even know if they're around anymore or not. And it was led by
the poor people that received so little
3,000 hours.
They received so little attention from us.
And hadn't been to a show since like 1972 or something. And, yeah. You know, was still waiting for it. And they'd get all these people from all over the country come flock to this place for a day. And I happened to meet up with them and go to their parties. Yeah, they just sit there waiting, tell them to come back. You know, it's like I just left the East Coast tour. I said, yeah, I just saw them more times this month than I guess you have in your life, man. And they're just tremendously into it.
It's I know, it's incredible. Just, it's the hardest thing in the world for us to make that jump from the East Coast to Europe.
So, no Red Square this fall then, or is that?
Not Red Square, but we are playing Berlin.
West Berlin.
West Berlin, not East
wow,
Berlin.
Wow, that should be cool.
We're trying.
Yeah, we're working on it. Yeah, that's still a not
we've
absolutely.
Done it, it's written with solid.
That should keep things interesting for a while. You're gonna. I've heard Crosby, Stills, and Nash in a big summer.
Yeah, Crosby, Stills, and Nash are opening some. Bruce Hornsby's opening some, and Edie Brickell and New Bohemians are opening some.
That's a good fit, huh? There's always just comparisons.
Yeah, well.
I think she did a little work with her. Right?
Yeah, I think she's just great. I love her a lot. She's also a member of the Garcia's Mystery All-Star Darkness and Confusion band.
Album due soon, of course.
Well, no, this is actually something I'm going to do sometime in the next year or so. I've been working on it ever since I worked with Beatty and Rob Wasserman. And, it looks like they may get Bruce Hornsby and maybe Branford Marsalis. Actually, Bruce is in. Branford's still in here, too, apparently.
I'm going to see what the show
is. Yeah, it's going to be a kind of a one-shot deal, but... Edie Brickell has this fabulous thing that she can do that's like magic. You can play any melody or any style of music, any changes, and she can spontaneously invent a song that goes with it, with a perfect melody, perfect length, and it'll make sense and everything. You know, I mean, it's incredible. I've never heard anybody get improvise right in the now, absolutely on the spot, and make it sound really, really good. Like something, you know, she can do it with the same authority that any good instrumentalist can play a nice confident solo. Only she doesn't have to have heard it before. She can do it cold.
Just on the fly.
Yeah.